Holy one. studying through the book of Proverbs. We are in the 13th chapter, and we got up to the 23rd verse last week. It says here, much food is in the tillage of the poor. Much food is in the tillage of the poor. This is such a powerful statement. Because basically what it tells us is there's no reason for the poor to be poor. He says much food is in the tillage of the poor. So the poor has a piece of property. And there's lots of food in there. But does he till it? That fallow ground has lots and lots of food in it. You don't see it until you engage it, you till it, you sow into it, you water it, whatever it is that you need to do. And out of that plain land comes out all this food. God has given to every one of us particular giftings and capacities. The question is, do we use it? The other day, I came across something online. There's a guy, he has no fingers on both hands. And he's playing the keyboard. And you should hear this guy. He was incredible. And I looked at my hands. For my fingers. But I can't do what the guy was doing. He was amazing. One of the best keyboardists that I've ever heard. And he had nothing but stump. And because I was watching that, I saw another guy, no hands. He just has his toes. And he has a guitar on the ground. And he's picking this guitar and making amazing sounds out of it. And I'm just awestruck. I said, wow. Wow. What gave these guys the idea they could play? Did he just wake up one day and say, well, I'm going to play a guitar? And how many people said, get out of here. You don't have fingers. You don't have what it takes to play that keyboard. You have to form chords. You have to put one finger here, one finger there, and then you'll be able to play. You don't have a thumb, you don't have fingers, you can't play the keyboard. In life, there's so many reasons to give up, to think it's not possible. And it's not possible because I don't have what other people that can do this have. I don't have fingers. Therefore, it's not possible. I don't have anybody to help me. Therefore, it's not possible. I don't have money. Therefore, it's not possible. That's not to say that those things that you say that you don't have are not necessary. But are there other ways of doing it? Are there other ways of skinning this thing? I didn't want to say skinning the cat, but because the cat owner is here. Much food is in the tillage of the poor. There's much food there. But are you tilling it? You've got something that will make it possible for you to accomplish what other people are accomplishing or are trying to accomplish. Do you know you? Do you know you? Do you know you? And if you do, what are you saying about you? This poor person is lazy, maybe? Or maybe he's saying, I don't have enough seeds to sow this whole plot. Well, maybe you don't. But can you use what you've got to get started? I'm too old. It's too late to start. People can have all kinds of reasons why something is not possible. But in the perspective of God, there's a whole lot of stuff in that place. Somebody may come here and look at this place and see all kinds of stuff. Oh, if only I had this place, I can do this, 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 this. And maybe I'm here, sitting down here, and not seeing all the this, 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 this. You have a husband, you have a wife. But in your eyes, there's nothing there. He's no good. She's no good. But somebody else can be married to that man or to that woman, and wow, look at the amazing thing they come up with. We many times don't see the potential. Why? Because I'm not willing to work at it. I'm willing to work at it. There's much food there, but there's no willingness to work to till it. Therefore, the food that is meant to be there doesn't come out. And that's an incredible thought that God communicates to us from that simple statement. Much food is in the tillage of the poor. There's much food there. If it gets tilled, there's much there in that house. If they work at it, there's much in that church. If they work at it, just work at it. There's all kinds of results that can come out of that place. It's a matter of rethinking and finding a way to work at it. And then it goes on and says, but there is that But there is that is destroyed for the want of judgment. Because of a lack of judgment, things get destroyed. But deeper into that statement about things getting destroyed because of a lack of judgment is the fact that the land that you do not till, that has produced poverty, that somebody else can come and in injustice snatch it away from you. So injustice can wipe away and take away from you what you could have had because you did not care for it. What you don't care for and protect can easily be snatched away. It's a lesson of life. If you don't give it any level of importance, somebody can gladly take it away from you. You don't care for that wife, somebody's going to come grab that wife away from you. You don't care for that husband, somebody will gladly take that husband away from you. You don't care for that business, somebody will come and gladly take it away from you. Oh, injustice, injustice. Well, if you cared for it, you will not be crying out injustice. I don't know if we're getting the point. I'm not saying go snatch other people's wives or husbands. That's not what I'm saying at all. But the reality in this world is that that is the case. That's the reality. Somebody else will take what you don't think is important, what you don't invest yourself in, your time in. Somebody will gladly take it. And furthermore, you don't invest in it, you don't care for it, you don't work it, it will not produce, it will not yield its strength to you. You want a harvest, but you've not sown. How does that work? You have a car, you don't clean it, you don't care for it. You just leave it like that. And somebody comes and looks at the car and says, "Ah, this car is useless. I'll pay you such and such an amount for it. Pay you 1/10 of what it is worth." Drives that car away, cleans it up, shines it. And you see your car and say, "What? I want my car back." "No, it's gone." "It's gone. It's gone." "No, I want my car back. You cheated me." "No, who cheated you? You didn't care for the car. It's always filled with wrappers from McDonald's and Burger King and everywhere else. There's all kinds of cups, you know, all over the place. There's garbage inside, in and out, and everything. Now it is clean. Now you want it." "Excuse me? No, no. I paid you, didn't I? It's not my car. It's not my car." You know how many people got divorced? And somebody else is married to their wife, and now they want that wife back because she is looking good. She is looking good. She's all dressed up, her hair is all put together. But when you had her, it was not because of the money. You didn't care. You didn't care to invest in her. And somebody now has her and cares so much for her. She looks so beautiful. She's so confident. She is doing all kinds of stuff. She's now a businesswoman, you know, flying from here to there. But when you had her, she was just Janet. Much food is in the tillage of the poor. What you think there's nothing in, somebody else can work at that thing and get something out of it. Why not you? How can I make this that I have better? What can I do? This is something for us to consider, really. Take to heart. 22 makes a statement. A good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children. A good man leaves an inheritance. Not just to his children, but to the next generation, to his children's children. Then it says, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. The sinner, the wicked person, he may have all this, but all of those resources is laid up for the just man. The food that's in the tillage of the poor, because he did not take care of it, it goes on to the next person. And then he says, to guard against this kind of foolishness, he says, he that spareth his rod hateth his son. You have a son? Speak to him about not being lazy. Teach him not to be lazy. Because lazy people end up with nothing. Don't be slothful. There's not a time that you cannot turn your life around. You know, I was listening to the news today and I saw a young man, I think his name was something Wang. He's either 23 or 25 years old. And he's a billionaire. He's a CEO of a company. And he's a billionaire. I'm looking at this kid. That's younger or the same age as my first grandson. He's a billionaire. Incredible. How did he become that? He became that because he took whatever it is that he knew and worked at it. Not everybody is going to be a billionaire or a millionaire or whatever. But everybody has an opportunity to be the best version of themselves. Has the capacity to be a person that brings about change. Change that brings about transformation. You spare the rod. You hate your son. But he that loveth him or loveth his son chasteneth him betimes. Betimes here meaning before time. The time of his manifestation. You will speak into his life. You will bring the rod of the word. When it talks about the rod here, it's not talking necessarily about spanking. It can include that, but that is not the idea necessarily. It is the ability to prod that one into order. Pull them into order. Put boundaries. So many people have not had boundaries. They were never taught about boundaries. You don't do this. You don't go to this kind of a thing. You see, if you lie with dogs, don't be surprised that you have fleas. The company that you keep has an amazing way of impacting your life. So you got to have boundaries. You cannot be playing with the wrong thing and expect to have good results. Doesn't work that way. You dip one finger in oil, and no matter how careful you are, before you know it, oil will be in the rest of the fingers. That's life. So chastening means, hey, son, daughter, not so. Now, it's one thing for you to give instruction. It's another thing for the person to obey the instruction. God is the best father there is. Adam and Eve did not have an absentee father. God was there with them every day. Every day. The God of the universe came to where they were. But they chose to sin. You know, it's so easy to say to people, well, if you only had a good father, you would have turned out okay. No. Not true. There are amazing fathers and amazing mothers and children that were raised in the right atmosphere, given everything they needed to help them be the best, but they chose to do the wrong thing. It's a matter of decision. How does a poor man have property? How does a poor man have land? Verse 23 tells that he had land. He had something to till. It's just that he did not think it was worth it. Why is he like that? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ gave us an example of somebody giving 5 talents and somebody giving 2 and one giving 1. The one that had 5 doubled it. The one that had 2 doubled it. The one that had 1 says, I know you, you're a mean guy. You tried to reap where you didn't sow, so I went and I put it in the ground. Here it is. Back to you. And what does your boss say? You wicked servant. You shouldn't have buried it. At least if you didn't want to trade with it, you should have put it in some kind of an account so it bears interest. God has given every one of us something. And I tell you what, he's not coming back to get exactly what he gave to you. He wants more than he gave to you. He expects you to take whatever it is that he's giving to you and make something out of it. He doesn't want any one of us to be less. He expects more. And the expectation of more out of you and I is because of his love for us. But he's giving us something, every one of us. There's not a man on the planet that doesn't have something God gave to them. Verse 25. The righteous eat it to the satisfying of his soul. The righteous man eats to the satisfying of his soul, gets satisfied. He says, however, what the belly of the wicked shall want, the belly of the wicked shall want, will be hungry. Why is he calling them wicked? Because this person is not doing that which will glorify God in his life. He's twisted in his thinking. A wicked person is a person who thinks everybody else owes him. Society owes me. A wicked person like this a wicked person like this is the kind of person that will come to a church or wherever and thinks the church is supposed to take care of me. They don't give anything. They don't work. They don't invest. They don't support in any way. But the church has to take care of me. You're a Christian, right? You should take care of me. It's a sense of entitlement. You're not going to eat and be satisfied. Your belly shall want. The There are too many people that live their lives like that. And they think it's normal. And that's when you see people feel entitled, that's when you need to speak truth to them. That's when you speak truth to them. Why are you where you are right now? How did you get here? How can I help you change your thinking and start out afresh? You know, the change in thinking doesn't have to be some humongous, incredible change. Sometimes the change is, I normally sleep in till 12 in the afternoon before I wake up. And the change might just be, wake up no later than 8 a.m. Well, other people may be waking up at 5 or 6. But for you that normally wakes up at 12, I'll wake up at 8 a.m. Now, when I wake up at 8 a.m., what am I going to do? I'm going to vacuum. How many times are you going to vacuum in a day? No, it's rewiring your thinking. I'm just going to vacuum. I'm going to do the dishes. I'm going to dust. I'm going to go on a walk around the block. Just that little change gets you out of the rut. And then you add something else. And then you add something else. And then you add something else. Maybe I'm going to do some I get some of those old clothes that I have, and I'm going to wash them, and I'm going to iron it. It doesn't look like you're doing anything, but you're changing your whole life. You're changing something. And before you know it, you know, I got this nice clothes washed and ironed. Maybe I should look for a job. A job? Where did that come from? Mr. Sleep till 12 in the afternoon. Now you want to go look for a job? Yeah, it did not just start with a job. It started with, let me wake up at 8. And if I'm able to wake up at 8, maybe I can wake up at 6. It might take 3 months, but change has started. It has started. And before you know it, the guy is doing some amazing things and just going. When people see that kind of a change, they come alongside and they help. It is easier to steer a moving vehicle than one that is stationary. That's the truth of life. If the vehicle is moving, it's just, especially the faster it goes, the easier it is to steer. Just a little tap, and it's. But if it's stationary, you have to. Let that vehicle move, and it's not this anymore. There's power, grace. And everything that you do from that point on satisfies your soul. You're happy with yourself. Accomplish something today. But the belly of the wicked, the one who feels entitled. You're going to be hungry, man. Hunger is going to strike you. Paul tells us, he says, hey, get to work. Stop being lazy. The remarkable thing about what he says to us, he says, get to work so that you have seed. And the idea is not just going to work so you can make some money, so you can pay bills. He says, get to work so you have seed, something to sow. When you sow into God, God will multiply your seed sown. That's your way of energizing every aspect of your life. Sometimes we'll think it's about getting everything I can and canning everything I get. No, that's not the way to go. You have to think about investing in God, so God can bless you and increase you and enlarge your coast. Amen? That brings us to chapter 14. And chapter 14 starts out with a big bang. Oh my. This one is serious. It says, every wise woman builded her house. And here, the word of God is saying to us that the building of the house happens with a woman. This one is maybe too heavy to pull out in the next few minutes. So I'm just going to go on top of it. And next week, look at this verse seriously. It says, every wise woman. So, every woman is not wise. But the wise ones build their house. Wise women build their house. But it says, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. Plucks the house down. Okay, pluck it. Pluck is a word that we use for harvesting fruit. So we pluck oranges. But he's saying in here, pluck it with her hands, in reference to a house. So it's saying to us that the wise woman actually puts a seed and grows her house. The house that is built came out of nothing. It's not ready-made. Something that she worked at and built it. Put the structure up, roofed it, cared for it. He says, but the foolish plucked it down with her hands. Oh. Which means that the foolish one, so-called foolish one, also built her house. But got upset. Got angry. Got whatever, and tears the whole thing down. If you spend time to build that house, why are you plucking it down? So the message here is about continuity. It's about, this is my house. This is my family. I am not going to let anything disrupt what God has blessed me with. So rather than get the devil to cause me to start speaking nonsense, I will speak the blessing. Now, the word of God is going to address the man. But starting out here, it says, it's a wise woman. She's going to build her house. She's going to establish a home. She's going to trust God to see her family put together. And it's going to flip up and it's going to start talking about the man. But when it talks about the man, talks about the man in reference to God. The reason, the head of the man is God. The head of the woman is the man. And we will dwell more on this in the days to come. I had a beautiful illustration recently. Where this woman was talking about her husband and what a husband is. And the reference in her illustration was the husband is like an umbrella. And that this umbrella, whether it's shading from rain or from sun, the man is an umbrella, a covering to protect her. And she says, the woman is the one that is holding the umbrella up. As she holds that umbrella up, the umbrella begins to protect her. But the umbrella has the capacity to be waterproof, cause water to run away from her. And when she gets home, she's able to shake that umbrella and plunk it where it's supposed to be, and it dries up and all of that. But that her relationship to that umbrella is to make sure that that umbrella does its thing. But the umbrella cannot do its thing, play its role, if she does not lift that umbrella up. So she said, the one thing I must do, no matter what is happening, I'm going to make sure I lift up the umbrella in my life. And that's my husband. Sometimes he acts crazy and does all the wrong stuff, but I make certain that I take care of that umbrella so that the umbrella can take care of me. Wow. She said it better than I'm saying it. I'm listening to this, I'm saying, wow. I didn't know where she was going with her umbrella motif, but when she finished talking about it, I said, I thought about it like that. But really, the Bible thinks about it like that. It says, a wise woman builds her house. Her house is her shelter. But the foolish one plucks it down. You foolish, crazy, stupid, dumb, lazy, blah, blah, blah. You're going to have what you say. Vice versa. If it is true of the woman, it's also true of the man. Let us close in prayer. Heavenly Father, you have much to say to us. And as was rightly said at the very beginning of our time together, we don't want to be forgetful hearers, but doers of your work. So Lord, whatever it is that needs to change in us as individuals, changing us corporately, we're asking, oh God, that you do it for us. Help us, so that we can be the best men, best women, best boys, girls, husband, wives, whatever status we have, that we'll be the best for your glory and honor, and that our lives testifies of your goodness at all times. God of the open door, open doors for us, and blessing us, help us to be a blessing. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we'll take it up next week from Proverbs 14, verse 1. And expound on the word of God together.
Hallelujah. Well, that was quite the message. That should help us to understand what God wants for us. God wants us to be prosperous. That's the sure thing. Just using those few verses of statements, He's given us the power to get wealth. That's women, children, men, everyone. But we have to make the effort to go out and get it as well. But at the same time, you help each other. You don't go against each other, you just encourage each other. When you go against, it's destructive. But when you go and help others, encourage others, it just builds twice as fast. That's been my experience. When I encourage somebody, very often I see something happening. You plant that seed. There's seeds to be planted everywhere. It's not just in the garden. It's not just in the land itself. It's in everything that we do, at work, at play, relationships. You just give to one another in so many different ways, not just financially, but advice or do something for somebody. Those are all little seeds that bring goodness to the next person, which builds them up for them to be better than they were before. Somebody who needs help, you help them. And Jesus said, when you do as unto others, it's like you're doing it to me. And that's so important because Jesus is the one who gives us, who gave us, it's the Father above, who gave us everything that we have here. To one he gave 10 talents, to one 5 talents, and to one the one. It's interesting that the English language says talents. It actually is supposed to be a type of money that we don't have nowadays. But, you know, being called talents also means things that we do. God has ways of speaking through language, and that's one thing I believe he's doing with the word talent. You're talented at art, you're talented at doing carpentry, you're talented at mechanics, you're talented at so many different things, sewing, to cook. There's different ways of getting talents. Some are better at certain talents, but you build on that. You know, if you're a good cook, maybe you can start a restaurant. Not all good cooks are good restaurant keepers. But they can cook well. But they can also do various other things as well. And it's not always the number of talents I find that a person has, but the quality of the talent. Improve within those talents that we have. You know, when I started my business, I was only doing one thing. And I got good at that, but I got bored with the one thing. So I started to do another thing on houses. And then I built myself to do a third thing and a fourth thing. And I ran a company, that small company, that was doing various things I could do at the end. Or part of the time, I could have built an entire house practically. But I didn't get to that point. And that's maybe what I should have pursued even more. I did build a couple houses, but I should have pursued even further. But it's very taxing on the body as well sometimes when you go overboard with what you're doing. And if you do too much of one thing, you kind of like neglect other things. Those are things that you want to be careful with as well. Through my experiences, that's how it's been. So a lot of people, they become workaholics. They work so much that now they neglect their family. And that's very bad. You got to regulate everything that you do, so that you don't just build on one thing but mess another one up. And some people are great at making everything around them work. And that's what we need to do. Make everything work around us. Time in the day doesn't allow it to happen all the time, but you know what? You do the best that you can with what you got. build on what you have and grow with it. I thank the Father right now for each and every one today that are here, because we grow together in this place. I've seen growth in so many people. I've been here for quite a few years, and I see growth in each and every one of us here. Some are doing far better than what they started, when they started, and that's the same with me. I remember when James came in, he only rode a bicycle. He didn't have a family. He had a meager job. But then he grew. He learned how to drive. He didn't want to drive, but he learned how to drive. He forced himself to do that. And then all of a sudden, he's got a wife. And all of a sudden, he's got three children. And all of a sudden, well, he's got a good job. You know, they tried to take that job away. The devil did. But he couldn't do it, right? Why? Because he was persistent. It's the same thing with us. As long as we are persistent, and you are also using the promises of God. God promises us that we would be wealthy. So we need to grab onto that. Grab onto it and go work with it. God's behind you all the way to make it happen. So never quit. Never quit. This world wants to bring discouragement to us. So many times, you know, I wanted to quit. Things were going bad. People are just against. This goes wrong. That goes wrong. Each and every day there's such a battle. But you keep on hammering on that battle. Keep on hammering at it. Never quit. And at the end, you have results. And they're good results. Because God is behind you. And I thank God for my life. I thank God for everybody's life. That's because God is behind it. And I want to thank God today for what he's done for each and every one of us. And because he's behind us, sometimes it's time to also give your tithes or offerings or just a gift to God. And you know, that's another portion that God looks at. We grow because we give. And when we give with the right heart. Give for God's growth. God gives to us, but we give back to him. He gives us a portion to use it wisely. And the first portion should be his. And God will help you to grow more when you do that. Tithing is one of the most important things. I've heard so many preachers, people want to get prayed for. I need a good job. I need this. I need that. I need this. I need that. I need you to pray for me so that I get all these things. And I've heard so many of them, they say, do you tithe? And they say, no. Well, then I can't pray for you. The only reason he can't pray for you is because he wouldn't have to in the first place if you did tithe. And now it's not a prayer that should be even said, because it's God who will reward the giver. And I can pray all day long for that person. Nothing's going to happen because God's got there's a wall there. He should be doing something, but he's not. So make sure you tithe. It's important. God always gives no matter what, because he cares. Because he loves people. He doesn't want anybody to suffer. But when you give to him, he honors you. He said, I will rebuke the devourer for you. Thank God for that. We can go further than others because of that. Thank you, Father God, for being such a gracious God, a God who cares, a God who loves, a God of mercy as well. Where we fail, Father God, you are there still for us. You said you would never leave us nor forsake us. And as we do the things that you call us to do each and every day, Father God, and you bring increase within us, help us to understand that on how to manage everything that you have given us. That we can have wisdom through the days that we go and use what you gave us to double what you give us and to do it well. I pray for those who don't have, that they will do what you called them to do, that you will increase them as well when they do what they're supposed to do. God, you are a God of increase, not a decrease. You have nothing that you have created should be decreasing. Everything that you've built, every seed that you have planted here on earth, the seed of a tree, will have multiple every single year, thousands of seeds. And because of that, that's an example for us. You have given us, we are like one seed, and we can pull out so many more seeds out of us and plant them. Each and every place that we go, we plant seeds, seeds of your word, seeds of your truth, seeds of your love, seeds of your joy, so that other people can receive what we have as well. Thank you, Father God, for all our friends here in this church. And I pray for more people to come in, because they need to be blessed too. I pray for Friday that many people will come to pray. This shall be a house of prayer. And I pray, Father God, that everyone that should be here to pray will be here. Put it in their heart, Father God, to be here. It's important in the last days to make the house of God the house of prayer. We're in evil times right now. Things, laws are changed, being changed. And Father God, we need you. We need more of you. We need all the believers to come together, to come against the evil that's about to happen. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. I want to say goodbye to those on Zoom, and